As we prepare to hear the word read and proclaimed, let us pray for illumination. Holy One, your word is a lamp to our feet. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and strength to follow you on the good path you set before us. In Christ, amen. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Isaiah. Hear, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your earnings for that which is not satisfied? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Now you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that you do not know shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, said the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees in the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Startle and surprise us, O God, with the mysteries hidden in your word. Breathe into us new life and hope because we have started this week with you so that we might know your presence in the world around us and in our own lives. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There are so many ways that we can talk about how God is found in everyday things. The first time I heard Blake Helms tell his story, the story that you heard in the video before the service, the story about music at Knox, I knew I was hearing one of those stories about how God is found in everyday things. Today I'm going to wonder out loud for a while about that story and about what it means to discover God in everyday things. And I hope that you will know that I am doing this not so that you can think just about Blake's story, but so that you can wonder about your own. About ways that you might be discovering God's presence in your own everyday life. Music is one of the ways we discover God. We've also talked this month about prayer through a story from Jane Schlaudecker, one of our Knox youth, and about mission last week through a story from Jill Brokaw. Plenty of us experience God in nature. And it was an intersection between music and nature that lands us today in one of my very favorite passages of Scripture, Isaiah chapter 55. In Isaiah chapter 55, 12, toward the end of the reading, it says that the mountains and the hills will burst forth in song, expressing the glory of God. That's an idea that has been picked up again and again in music and in poetry, that rocks will sing to the glory of God. You will hear about that in the anthem that immediately follows this sermon. It's a bit of a strange idea that inanimate objects would be sources of music to our ears and indicators of God's glory, but I bet if I give you a couple of ideas, you can relate to it too. I wonder how many of you have stood at the edge of some natural wonder. The Grand Canyon might be a great example. Awestruck by the music of that beautiful landscape. Its endless layers sing to the countless generations who have stood in the very same place as you, captivated by a canyon formed by millions of years of wind and water and sunlight crafting its every bend and curve. This is truly what the Bible calls living stone. But it doesn't have to be that grand or majestic, and sometimes it isn't just about the stones, but what's happening around them. This past summer on a family vacation, I took one of the best bike rides of my life. And I've been on a lot of bike rides. It was down a mountain path that split two canyons. I rode at the back behind my wife and children, who rode ahead of me in a line, laughing, joking, and racing. I heard the sound of the waterfalls cascading down the rocks on each side, and I felt as if those ancient rocks were not only singing, but they were listening. They were listening to that beautiful, memorable day in my life and the life of my family. The day wasn't amazing because of the rocks, but because of how I felt the blessings of my life echoing off of those rocks in between them in ways that I could hear. I don't always do it, but in that moment I had the good sense that presence of mind to thank God for what I was experiencing. God was there. Rocks sing to us with so many stories. A fossil carved into a creek bed telling stories of the ancient past. A grandparent picking up a stone and teaching a child to skip it across a stream. There are so many ways, great and small, that even the rocks break forth in song when God is doing simple and beautiful things in our lives. Sometimes rocks cry out in ways that are not joyful. In these days in Gaza and in Ukraine, mountains of mangled concrete cry out with the blood of innocent children and families lost to senseless violence. Piles of rubble in Afghanistan remember the lives of innocent people lost to an earthquake this year. In our own city, cracks in the streets and the sidewalks hold within them the mournful songs of young black men whose lives are lost to gun violence. Other times the music is less tragic, but still mournful. When families gather in this old stone church for a funeral, most of them bring at least one song they wish to hear in the service because Amazing Grace or You Are Mine is the song Mom would have wanted to hear. And memories of her echo in these walls when it is sung and the important work of grieving begins. It turns out that God's presence in nature and in music is all around us. not just in the joyful things of the world, but carrying us in times that are hurtful and inspiring us to keep living. God is present in all of it. In these ways of singing, we hear how much God wants to know us, how much God wants to be a part of your life. God's Spirit speaks into the world in a way that matters, a way that gives meaning and purpose to our lives, a way that demands a response from us. God wants to speak some important truth into your life, wants to do so in a way that you can hear. That's what the scripture we read this morning is trying to tell us. Isaiah 55 is directed to people who are struggling to rediscover God's presence in the midst of a really hard time. God goes on to remind them of God's promises, that God cares and has all along, that God has been with them, that God wants to draw them up out of their daily worries, the things that distract them, and into a grander vision of what life can be. So Isaiah's song begins, "Hear this, hear this. Anyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor on that which fails to satisfy? Listen. Listen to me. And eat what is good, so that you may live." This is an invitation to a good life, a life lived closely with God. It's not a better life based on more accumulation or materialism. It's not based on lifting yourself up by pushing somebody else down. It's an invitation to everyone. God has a feast in mind, and the only requirement is that you come hungry and thirsty. God promises hungry people, "I will feed you," and anxious people, "I will give you calm." God promises bored and complacent people, "I will inspire you," and hurting people, "I will help you to heal." The ancient people who heard these words, they surely doubted that it could be true, that God had the power to help them, or that God had the will to do so. And so God's poem goes on to do two more things. First, it puts them in their place and reminds them of God's place. "My thoughts are not your thoughts," it says. "And my ways are not your ways," says the Lord. Those of us who are limiting God to what we already know must stop trying to contain and define God's great and holiest mysteries. We've got to get back to allowing God to surprise us. And then the poem goes on with the reminder that we need every day, that the evidence of God's love is all around us if we just take the time to look. In even the rocks and the mountains, God's glory breaks forth in song. Whether the evidence is in the joyful singing of a beautiful world or the promise of God's presence in a world that is deeply broken, God is there, creating, healing, restoring, convicting, picking us up today and guiding us to tomorrow, if only we will pay attention. And that brings us back around to where we started. The music and the natural world, they are like proofs, these evidences, these reminders that God is at work in the world and wants to know and be near to you. Of course, when I say proof, I don't mean scientifically. We're not here for some kind of intellectual debate to prove by fact or figure whether or not God is real. What is much more accurate is to say that those of us who are willing to park our overabundant rationalism for a moment, long enough to look, we usually find that God is at work around us in just about every corner imaginable. God is at work in the mountains and the rivers, in love and friendship, in prayer and study, in the people we serve and care for, and the people we allow to care for us, and in music. Music is just one proof that we heard about this morning, as I said, not because it's the only one, but so that it might prompt you to ask, how in my own life might God be at work? Blake Helms told us a great story this morning. It was beautiful in its power and in its simplicity. It's a story that's full of the movement of the Holy Spirit. Blake found his way quietly to Knox Presbyterian Church and sat in a pew. Listening to the choir, he quietly pressed record on his phone, and later that day, he sent the songs to his mom and dad. They soon would relocate to Cincinnati, and the two generations of that family joined the choir together and began to sing again. They marked the 90th birthday by inviting a great composer to write a new song, a song that began here at Knox and now is there for the world to share. It begins with the words, God, you made all things for singing, even the canyons carved from stone. Here in these walls of stone, Blake and his parents grew closer to one another and to their church family and to God through God's gift of music. And that happens to our musicians and our worshipers all the time, that some momentary blessing of music sparks within them something in life that winds up being much more important than they might have imagined. Do not miss this. Blake's story is wonderful, but it is far from impossible. It began as ordinarily as a guy sitting in a church pew on Sundays and sending his parents a text that afternoon. But over time, it brought him closer to his church family and to God in ways Blake never would have guessed. God is there all the time, beyond our understanding, but close to us and waiting to reach into our lives and surprise us. God is a mystery to wonder about and yearn for and to hope to discover. And it happens all the time when we slow down, quiet down, and listen long enough for God to surprise us in the music of the rocks that sing for God, or a cell phone recording that gives birth to a new chapter in life. How is God's Spirit at work in your life today? How is God's Spirit at work in your life today? I hope you will give yourself the space to wonder. Will you pray with me? God, where is your Spirit stirring in my life? Was it in a story about music or prayer or helping others, a story that caught my attention? Was it in the face of a person in need? Was it in an argument with someone I care about? Is it in a problem I don't yet know how to solve? Where can I feel the movement of your spirit, O God, in my chest and in my belly, in the tightness of my shoulders or the openness of my hands? Where is the music of your spirit trying to sing a new song? God, I trust that you are there. May I be open enough to be surprised by your love.